Hi, everybody. Welcome to Life Beyond Our Wildest Dreams Recovery Podcast. My name is Denise and I'm your host. And before we start, just a small disclaimer. You can subscribe and listen on all of the platforms that you listen to your podcasts. But please do be aware that the nature of it being a recovery podcast, please do not indicate what path of recovery that I'm involved in. I also never mention my association with any particular program of recovery, only that I'm in recovery. And we do that at this level just for privacy reasons for everybody. Thank you. Okay, so here we are, 41 years in recovery. Wow, that's more than half my life. Seems like I've been working at this a long time. For most of you that know me, I'm pretty public in my own life about recovery, and the reason I am is to help remove the stigma. As we know, there's a large stigma still about alcoholism, any kind of drug addiction, any kind of recovery, and any kind of, mental health as well. So for most of you, if you're listening for the first time, I'm 64 years old. I have been in recovery for 41 years. That is more than half my life now. I definitely need to be here, and I still need to be here for many, many people that maybe don't understand addiction. I'm now been at it long enough that I realize there's many factors that come into addiction. A lot of it is environmental, definitely. There's more research on genetics now. And of course, in my case, I had it on both sides of my tree. Circumstances and mental health, of course. So, addiction can be really complex and complicated. So I'm going to go back it's going to be hard to cover 40 years, but I'm first going to say I wasn't going to do the podcast, but each year I do one on the anniversary. My last drink was March 15th, 1983. So in a couple of days, I will mark that day. And that is almost more important than my birth date, because definitely it made me who I am today. It had the most impact on my life. So I was premature in 1960. I was born. My parents were divorced in 1962, from what I can tell. They're both passed away, but that's a whole other story. At age six, so I was in the hospital when I was premature, and I was there for a couple of months, and my mother was working, and there didn't seem to be any parental bonding or anything that was done. And so that really paved the way for me for the rest of my life. It is not really a normal thing to not have physical bonding with a mother, especially. They often say that the mother, whether or not it's a good relationship or a bad relationship, it's our first relationship and always the most complex in our life. And that was certainly the case with my mother till her death 21 years ago. It was complex, difficult to navigate from the beginning. I had a very strong resemblance from the nose up to my father, biological father, who was never in my life and never acknowledged me. And I think that was an issue for her. But that was her issue, so I'm going to leave it there. And I didn't know him, so for the nature of this podcast, I'm going to leave that there. At age six, my mom remarried. We moved from the East Coast to the West Coast, and any of the paternal relatives, never did I see them again. There were many attempts that I made through the years. There was never any connection or acknowledgement from the paternal parent. So, what ended up happening is from age six to 11, this was interesting. I had a stepfather, but really no relationship as such. And then at age 11, I was legally adopted. So at that point, again, that name came up, okay, I've got a biological father. I saw it on the paperwork. I had to sign the paperwork. Who is this guy? Why does he want nothing to do with me? So that would be planted in the back of my mind. So I think there was always an abandonment issue, which is very common quite often in addiction. And that just stayed in the back of my mind. So my life carried on. My parents then moved to another community, a very small community, from about age 12, I guess. By age 10 or so, there was always the party house. Alcohol flowed very freely on a daily basis, and by age 10, I picked drinking up quite quickly. It would numb me when I didn't want to feel anything, when I wanted to just disappear and be invisible. I just never felt like part of the world. And so when I wanted to feel something, it also allowed me to feel. It made me happy. It made me sad. It made me, somebody in later years, somebody would die, somebody would be born, somebody would win, someone would lose. Alcohol was always, always, always in the center of my life. Living in a real community, there's not much else to do as well. I never drank in public. I would attend a party or two very rarely, and of course, drink before, drink after, but never had people in my inner core that could ever judge the amount I was drinking. I always knew I drank too much. I always knew that once I started. I was pretty for a while, fairly high functioning, but then it got to the point where, I had to have that drink, a bit in my coffee in the morning and a bit at night to go to sleep, and lots in between. I was very aware that being adopted, that I was not blood, and that part of the family, the adoptive family, always made no bones about that. So being blood and having blood connections was never a big deal for me. At age 19, my mother basically did an arranged marriage. I think she always suspected my sexuality, but anyways, at age 19, I went ahead, got married. Was actually drunk during the service, which actually is illegal to marry someone who's intoxicated. My husband and I did not live together. He was going to school, so again, I was able to just drink on my own day and night and have nobody bother me. At age 19 as well, one of my best friends, probably the closest friend I had growing up, he was killed by a drunk driver. And so from that time on, I did not trust a person. I did not, was not interested in investing in any friendships, just continued to drink. So my drinking did escalate, and eventually it got to a situation one day where I, very frequently would black out. I was driving this regular strip of the road. Many people had seen me. I obviously was in a blackout. One of the ladies that I did know, basically everyone was an acquaintance. Her 5-year-old daughter had stepped off a school bus and had been hit by a drunk driver. So they spent the next 4 days looking for that driver. I spent the next 4 days locked in my house, taking Valium and drinking, waiting for them to come to arrest me. At one point, I did stagger out to the car and look underneath, but couldn't see anything. Eventually, they contacted me just generally because they were contacting everyone, not because they had any indication that I thought I was the person. And it turned out to not be me, obviously. But that was a pivotal time for me. I knew at that point about my sexuality. I knew the marriage was over. I knew I had to get out of that. I knew that I was blacking out all the time. My damage control, I couldn't do. Really, I didn't want people telling me what happened the night before, what I had said, where I'd been. I just wanted to be left alone and drinking. But I knew they could come and arrest me and that I would have absolutely no defense. I knew I didn't, I would not have known if I had done it or not done it. At this point, I was also unemployable. I had no real relationship with my mother at that point. Or family was estranged from them, primarily because of the sexuality issue. A lot of them didn't know I drank the amount I drank because I did drink alone. So at that point, it was a turning time for me. I decided I needed to try to stop drinking. Alcohol was my best friend. It was the only, it was my best friend. It was my parent. It was a sibling. It was a family member. It was everything to me that I didn't have. until it turned on me and it became my enemy. And with the blackouts, that happened very quickly. So I just couldn't deal with it anymore. And at 21, I accepted that, I needed to make a change. So I packed all the suitcases of my husband's and put it at the door and advised him he was leaving, which he did. And I knew someone who was in recovery. So I did go and I did make a connection in a recovery program. I just felt like, I was the youngest. At that time, there were no women. There was two, three women, all these old men with wide ties, they were smoking in the rooms. I just thought, where in the hell have I come here? Like, this is just something else. And they would tell these stories. They've lost their house, their car, their wife, their dog, and I would make jokes about it, like, are you guys for real? And finally, someone came to me and they said, have you realized that, you have nothing? The desperate state you're in, you're unemployable, you have no family, you can't quit drinking, you can't remember anything when you do drink, but you think that this whole thing is so funny. But do you realize that you'll never get anything in life unless you get sober? So finally, I realized that I really had nothing left to lose. So I kind of went in the first year. I stayed sober a year. Then I relapsed, went back. And after the second year, it became obvious that yes, in fact, I was physically free of the alcohol and my body was physically free of it. But I didn't understand that with alcoholism, it's twofold. It's a mental obsession and it's a physical allergy. And, I just couldn't, my body did not accept it. It sensed, my body sensed super sensitive to drugs. I've got autoimmune issues. I've got different things today that I realize were a factor with how alcohol reacted in my system. So physically, I was okay, but mentally, I wasn't really changing any of my ways. I wasn't changing my behaviors, my responses, my anger, all the abandonment I felt, my relationships. I had anxiety and depression. I was unapproachable. I was defensive. I'd sit in different meetings with my arms crossed and, come close, stay away. I was just not changing those behaviors. And to live a real life of peace and serenity and contentment, I had to change those ways. So I did enter a treatment center for 30 days. And I was really glad that I did because there I was able to have a lot of counseling. I was able to do a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy. And I was able to see that it's a lifelong process, that I will always be better, but I will always as well have some of these deep embedded ideas and behaviors, and that I just have to fine-tune them a little bit. That was to my benefit and to everybody's around me. So that was a real benefit for me to be going to treatment. I came out of treatment, and now in between one of the relapses, I did meet my biological father had remarried and had another daughter. And we met briefly for one day, one evening. And until I knew of her, I didn't know of her existence, obviously, till we met. But when I did, then another thing started up for me, which was, okay, so what was wrong with me? So you ignored me and had nothing to do with me my whole life. But here you got another daughter. She's okay, but I'm not. So, that would start those things up as well. So I would just push them to the back of my mind. I never saw my sister again for 42 years until around 39 days ago. And I'm not going to get into that. I've spoken to her. I'm going to leave a lot of that just private between the family and a lot of what's transpired with her and I is really, to me, short of a miracle. And timing has been everything. And I mean, I think it's going to be a relationship beyond my wildest dreams. It already has been. And so I'm not going to really get into the details of that other than to say, the past had to be the past. I shoved it in the back of my mind. I left it for 42 years, but I always knew that if I was ever going to, I tried four times to get in touch with her through the bio parent and was told that she wanted nothing to do with me, that I was gay and an alcoholic, and they were religious. So, I mean, I'd had enough rejection in my life. I'm not going to be knocking on people's doors, and collecting more rejection, and especially when it was so hard to work on myself. So I just let it be. I did know for about 16 years that she was well and alive. And then finally, through being sober and doing all the work on myself, and getting myself to a point where it was purely just about her. It was not about me. I just purely needed to know she was okay and she was fine before I left this world. And I needed her to know that I had been looking for her if she didn't know that. And for those reasons only, I was okay knocking on her door, no matter what the response would be. If it was going to be further rejection, that's okay. All I'll say at this point is that has not been my experience. And so it's made me believe even stronger that, I'm not a religious person at all, but I'm a firm believer in the alignment of the universe. And in timing has been everything in my recovery. And clearly, with this, the timing was right. We would have been very different people 10 years ago. And, I think we're just perfectly on time for our relationship now. And I do, really believe that I would not be able to give her the best version of myself had I not remained sober. So I came to accept that this was going to be my life. And has it been easy? Anyone who tells you that getting sober is going to just be, everything's going to be wonderful, everything's going to be fine. Life is life. And, through those decades, I mean, I was in my early 20s, then I was in my 30s. By the 40s, I hit perimenopause. By the 50s, I was in menopause. That was fun. And I've had certain stages where I've been, dry and just crazy. And but it's all been up and down, ebb and flow. It's all been different. It's all been life. All these things would have happened to me whether I was sober or not. All these things would have happened to me if I was an alcoholic or not. So the thing that recovery gives me the benefit of doing is it gives me the benefit to respond in a healthier manner. It gives me the ability to respond rather than react. All I did was react before. And it gives me the strength to just really put people ahead of myself. I was so self-absorbed. Everything, I was a victim. Everything was until I became a survivor and no longer a victim. It was all, about what had been done to me or what I didn't have. And, recovery has really allowed me to turn that around. And, I have peace and serenity today. I have a lot of peace every day. 5 years of sobriety, of course, I met my beautiful wife, Charlie. And I mean, that was a lot for her. I was dry, but not quite sober yet, not sober in my mind anyway. She hung in there. She has no addiction issues. She hung in there. She could see the person I was inside. And she just, really, really helped me throughout my life as well. And, the person I am today, I attribute a lot to her as well, and her love and unconditional love and support. All of you in recovery have known me a long time, have met or know of her. And this year, of course, we almost lost her in September. And everybody from all around the world all lit candles for days and days and days, for weeks actually. Sent messages, sent cards, sent texts, and she pulled through. And today she still has long COVID, but She's kicking its ass and she's doing well. And, she's so grateful and thankful for all of you who've supported me throughout these years. And so, I guess my whole point is that recovery really gives us so much. It not only changes our lives and makes us better versions of who we are, but it also gives us the courage and the strength to do things that we could never do before. Knock on doors that we were afraid to knock on, experience certain things in life and love the way love is hard as we love, and do things that we just, could not do before. Because vulnerability was always seen to me as a weakness. Showing my emotion was always seen to me as a weakness. And today, recovery has showed me that all of those are such strengths. So I'm proud to be in recovery. I'm proud of my 41 years sober. And I know all the work it's taken to get here. And to stay here. And, all I have to worry about is not drinking today. And I don't have to worry about weeks, months, years, just today. So for this day, I thank all of you. And my wish for everybody is that you live your best life and you live your life beyond your wildest dreams because you deserve it.